participants and are not necessarily endorsed by KRMG, Cox Media Group Incorporated, or the program sponsors. It's an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome to Wheels with automotive experts from Cecil & Sons Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Tulsa Gas Technologies, your CNG expert. To your questions about your car, truck, or SUV, to join the program, call 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. Or you can text your questions to 95920. The Ask the Experts weekend rolls on with Wheels with Lloyd Boland, Troy Cox, Tom Sewell, and the host of Wheels, Denver Fox.
Well, the legislature has adjourned, and when they did, they left with a few new laws that will be going on to the books here very shortly. We'll go over some of those. And gas prices, well, they're kind of still up there, a little higher than usual. Talk about that. Your questions at 918-460-KRMG. On this edition of Wheels, good morning. I'm Denver Fox with our esteemed panel of experts here this morning. Troy Cox, the big wheel himself from Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs and in Sepulpa. Good morning, sir.
Man, I don't know if we can live up to that kind of buildup.
Oh, I was talking about this other panel over here.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Not you guys, right? Hey, what's going on at the world? Got a lot of new tires and rebates and all kinds of things that are available for you at Cecil & Sons this week.
Yeah, there's always something going on. Yeah. And, of course, the quickest way to find that is just to go to cecilandsons.com, hit the offers. All of the rebate offers that are currently available are going to be on there. Right now, of course, Goodyear's got rebates of up to $160 on select set of tires. Bridgestone's rebate of up to $100 is available through Monday. The 7th is when it ends. But there are a number of others. And, you know, getting into summer driving season, it's a good time to make sure your car's up and ready to roll. And, you know, we joke about use your turn signals and those kinds of things. Pop your hood, check your oil. Yeah. Really, maybe your own.
Absolutely. I mean, while you're sitting there gassing up, that's a perfect time to do it. If you gas up once every week or two, then just pop the hood and take a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, every week we see, you know, tires come in low. We see, you know, people come in for oil changes, and you pull the dipstick, and there's nothing showing on the dipstick. And you're going, have you been checking your oil? Well, no, it was just changed 5,000 or 7,000 or 10,000 miles ago. I mean, a lot of these newer vehicles, they're going by that internal clock, if you will, that runs in the computer. And, you know, maybe the car can go 10,000 miles with the proper factory specified oil, which not everybody wants to pay for. But if you're going to run those kind of times, you really need to be running the full synthetics with the full factory recommended, you know, additive packages. But you still have to pop the hood and check the oil, because all cars consume oil, maybe a microscopic amount, maybe not. But if you never check it, you don't know. And, you know, we had another one come in this week making noise, no engine oil in it. They're going, well, you know.
No engine oil at all?
Well, nothing showing on the dipstick.
Wow.
When we finally drained it, it was probably 3-plus quarts low. And,
wow.
You know, it's one of those deals. It's you've hurt your motor.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the hadn't said to change the oil yet. Well, did you check it? Did you know it was low? Well, no, because it had been changed, you know. And you start getting 10,000 miles or more, you're probably low.
It's a good idea to just carry an extra quart of the type of oil that you use. Find out what you've had put in there and just carry it with you. And if you need to add even just a little bit, just kind of top it off, that'd be great.
That makes it really handy, but we get this question all the time. And, you know, if you're out and about, if you're at the gas station checking it and it's low, walk into the QT or the Come and Go or your, you know, convenience store of choice, buy a quart. Mixing oil isn't ideal, but it's tremendously better than running low.
Absolutely. We got a question that came in actually last week before we didn't have time to get to it. But you can email us, by the way, if you have questions even during the week. Email us questions. We got a link on our Wheels page at krmg.com. And the question is, how can I determine where the wind noise is coming through my weather stripping? It's on an extended cab truck. Charlie, thanks for that question this morning. That's always a toughie, isn't it?
We were talking about it before hours, yeah. And Lloyd had a great idea. Just take some sections of masking tape and move them around until you...
So you don't have the noise.
So you don't have the noise.
Yeah, I guess that's a good way to do it.
We do everything with masking tape.
Is it duct tape?
No matter, or duct tape. You can fix anything with duct tape.
Right. Duct tape's a little too permanent maybe for that particular application.
Maybe it is. Tom Sewell is here with Tulsa Gas Technologies. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, you've been to a big conference in California this week, right?
Yep, been up to the big California Act Expo and saw the new big news.
And you sent me pictures of this incredible super truck. That, I mean, it looks very futuristic. And is it electric?
Well, it's a high efficiency diesel, but what they did is they put solar panels on top, and they're running all the ancillary things off the solar on the truck instead of using the alternator to run, you know, the air conditioner and that
lights,
kind of stuff.
Things
yeah.
like that. Wow.
So they're, and it's really streamlined. It looks like a bullet. But they're saying that it'll get 10 miles a gallon. And
wow.
on a semi-truck that normally gets 4 to 6, that's a really big step up.
Yeah, that's pretty good when you're hauling that much stuff.
You bet.
Yeah.
Well, 80,000 pounds, that's a lot of weight.
And electric buses, did you see some of those out there too?
You bet. I saw electric school buses. Actually, the school bus plant out at the airport, IC Bus, they had their prototype electric school bus out there. So that was pretty cool. There was two companies that had full-blown electric school buses. You know, they're not ready to sell them to the public, but they're starting to display them and show them. And so it was pretty cool to see, especially a local company doing something like that.
And anything new in the world of compressed natural gas?
You bet. One thing I did see that was finally time to see, all you hear is hybrid this, hybrid that. You wonder why they haven't made a CNG hybrid something. Well, finally, one of the big truck companies, I think it was Freightliner, had built a CNG/hybrid truck, and it was pretty neat. One of the things they're doing with the electric, it takes a lot of torque to get the vehicle rolling, and so they're using the electric to get the vehicle moving. And then, so it not as much oomph, you know, that starting torque.
Seems like it'd be the other way around. Seems like the engine would need to have the more power to kind of get it.
Well, it does, but it's just so much fuel to get the vehicle rolling,
yeah,
and then you can charge up the electric and let it go.
Oh, I see. That's where they save the fuel.
You
okay.
bet. They just get the vehicle moving, and then it's, you know, back into the diesel again. But it's all part of the transmission. It's a really neat deal.
All right. Very good. And Lloyd Boland is here, the king of the crankshaft, the guru of the garage, the high oompah of the accelerator, and the inventor of the PC41 Plus headlamp restoration kit.
Good morning.
Good. We're getting into warmer weather. We may hit 90 degrees by the end of the week already. Just kind of goes from winter, where we were out freezing a couple weeks ago on our remote. We'll be burning up here in the next week or so.
It sure feels good.
I like it.
Next step up, we're not looking forward to, but right now it just feels great.
But it means people are going to be checking their air conditioners
yeah.
and finding out, oh, need a little charge on this. And now we've got a new refrigerant that is out there, the R12341YF. Now, is this just on new vehicles that are coming, being manufactured now?
It's already here on some of them. There's some of them even local, I think, maybe.
I
haven't seen one.
We were talking about even a few years back, the European Union went to it, I want to say in 2012-13, and Mercedes was dragging their feet because the stuff's mildly flammable, yeah. and when it burns, it emits toxic gases. But we're seeing domestics now, too. I think Chrysler was the first American company, which with their Fiat ownership makes some sense to start using it.
Yeah, a lot of them are, from what I'm hearing and reading, a lot of the shops, especially like me, will never do it. It's just too cost effective. We can never come out on it.
It requires special machinery.
Oh, it's tremendous.
To be able to apply it.
But then if you have one serviced with the new Freon, you could be spending $900 just to have it serviced.
You just get a different car for that.
I think the public may bow up on this one.
Wow.
Well, it's bad. It'll be a couple years, though, in service before some of the issues start coming up.
Yeah.
Like you got to, you know, just say you bump your car and you got to pull a fender off or something.
Yeah.
You know, you really won't know that you have this and the problem and the expense until that.
Yeah, you know, we can fix your car for $2,000, but it's going to cost $8,000 to fix your AC.
Wow.
I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen with all this.
So the older AC machines that worked with the R 134A is not going to be able to service this new refrigerant then.
Well, no, it's special equipment because, again, it's flammable.
Yeah, they can change it over to that, back to that.
Oh, you can change
now,
it
I haven't read that, but I've heard it.
Well, the hard part about it, though, we've got what? We got a ton of money invested in this machine.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be hard to go out and spend another ton of money for a fraction of the vehicles right now. When the bulk of our business is still 1234A.
Well, they won't get to us for several years anyway, but when it happens, that's when it, if they get that far with it, that's what's going to really, I don't know how to put that, it's going to get ugly.
Wow. Well, that's wild anyway. Yeah. And I don't know why change it. Is it even more environmentally friendly, apparently?
They're here to help.
Yeah. That classic most frightening phrase in the English language. We're from the government and we're here to help.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of the 468. Yeah, the 468 Cadillac in 81. They knew before it hit the market it wasn't going to work, so they went ahead and recouped their money and then unplugged the sensor and killed the whole system.
Oh, wow. Wow. It is 7:17. You're listening to Wheels on this Saturday morning. Well, a couple of new things are going to be coming into play. You remember, was it in the mid-60s, we didn't have seat belts, and then they finally said, no, we want you to have seat belts. So everyone, all cars became equipped with seat belts. Now it's just a regular thing, and you have to use them, too. They gave them to us, and then they said, now they mandated you have to use them. So seat belts are a thing, and that third stop light,
yes,
brake light. They was that mid-80s, somewhere in there, I think, when they added that on, and now everybody has that. Well, now, starting, all new vehicles are going to be made to require a backup camera.
Yeah, that was actually legislation back a number of years ago. It was supposed to be mandatory by 2017, but there was enough public outcry during the public comment period that it got pushed back.
Okay, so...
But it's the classic governmental line, if it saves even one life, it's worth it. And not to be crude when you say it depends on the life, but all of these things, all of these things add cost to the vehicles. That's why vehicles are getting into the $30,000 and $40,000. You know, we're not that long ago, not long enough ago that inflation explains all the difference. You know, you could get a nice car in the 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, airbags bumped them up pretty good.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That did do that. But backup cameras, boy, once you get used to them, though, you just really depend on them.
Yeah.
I mean, especially on a pickup, if you're doing a lot of trailering, you know, backing up without the help, being able to stab that thing is, you know, all by yourself is tremendously helpful. But it goes back to, wouldn't you like to have a choice?
Yeah, I suppose so.
But that's what government does. Government can only work by force. Government can only work by making us do things. In some cases, we should do. In some cases, maybe it's more open to debate.
I wonder how they determine that this made things safer. I mean, it's just someone's idea. I mean, I don't know how they would statistically...
Well, the argument was, you know, people backing over kids, people backing into stuff, people doing things because they couldn't see behind them. Well, that comes out often enough, then okay, we're going to fix that. Mm-hmm. And of course, the government approach to fixing things is we're going to mandate this for everybody, and that will fix it.
All right.
Seatbelts, though, Denver, that none of us would be sitting here if it wasn't for seatbelts. Not on this side of the counter.
You guys wear helmets, don't you, when you drive? Probably.
No, I mean,
no. Again, it's back to the safety equipment is great and it does save lives. But man, wouldn't it be better if we were smart enough to use it on our own?
7:19 on this Saturday morning. It is beautiful today. Sunshine. A high of 83 today, and we're up to 53 degrees in Tulsa. You're listening to Wheels on News 102.3 KRMG. Puts me in the mood to put the top down and get my kicks on Route 66 there. In fact, Troy, about a month from now, we'll be doing the Route 66 blowout over in Sepulpa.
Absolutely. First Saturday in June is the big Route 66 blowout. They shut down Dewey from Maine to just past City Hall. 300-plus show rods and muscle cars and motorcycles and
classics,
food,
man.
And you know, bounce houses for the kids. It's just a great, great Saturday in Sepulpa.
It's fun, a lot of fun. So make your plans, put that on your calendar, and we'll be out there broadcasting live on that Saturday morning on June the 2nd. Looks like. All right, it is 7:23. Back with Wheels here on this Saturday morning, and Tom's got a new name for you, Lloyd, the transmission whisperer. And I've seen you pull some of those things apart, and there's 1,000 pieces, and I'm thinking, man, I can barely, you know, put together a Lincoln log set or something, you know, when I was growing up. But things are a lot of parts to keep straight and how to put them
all. I think it's something that your mind just works that way. It's like Tom and electricity and Troy and tires. He knows more about tires than anybody on the earth, I think. It's just one of those things that you have, I think.
Well, it's a little more complex, but
well, it is, yeah.
A few more pieces involved with it, but anyway, you put them together. It's interesting. Hey, another law that's going into effect, and this has affected anyone that's ever sold a car. And if you sold a car and they don't change the title right away, and they drive through tolls, and they drive through, do all kinds of things, and people are calling you saying, hey, your car owes money, and you owe that money. You say, what's not my car? Oh, well, it's your car. Well, now they're going to fix that, looks like.
Oh, good. I wonder how they're going to do it.
Starting in July of 2019, your car tag will go with you when you sell your car.
That's good.
If other states have been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, I think
Missouri for sure.
Yeah, there's Kansas at least 8 or 10 states to do that.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And that makes sense. And I guess if you just sell your car and don't have a car, you just hang on to it.
I wonder what they'll do, though. You know, like if you come over to my place, my house, and buy my car, I'm going to take the tag off, and then you're going to drive it away with no tag.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So there's an interface that's got to have. I guess you take a Sharpie and write.
Yeah.
They frown on that, I think, but.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, that's going to be something. You got to have some way to get it to the tag agency to get you a new tag.
I guess unless you bring a tag, you know, with you, but there's always going to be that time. So I wonder what that procedure will be.
Yeah, it may be your first car, you know, and you don't have a tag. Otherwise, if you take it off, you'd have a tag there that you remove.
Yeah.
But you may be like some of us and have more than one car and you don't.
So you're going to have to take tag off an existing car to go buy the used car so the guy selling the used car or gal selling the used car can keep their tag and you put the tag from a third vehicle on this one. Yeah.
Well, that's
unintended consequences.
Yeah.
I don't think they thought that went all the way through.
For me, I must have about 15 or 20 cars. I don't really know. And keeping all that.
Yeah, keeping that all straight.
Well, I know Tom, and I'll just borrow one of his or Troy's.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Worry about it.
Yeah, make a Xerox of it or something. Well, it's going to be interesting because then I guess you have to take the tag and the number to the tag agency and register that car to that tag number. So it's all got to coordinate. So, well, they've given you a little time to work out the bugs. They get over a year. So,
well, hopefully they thought of that.
We'll see what happens.
Surely, because Missouri, it's not like the first day, but.
No, it's.
I just see problems.
Yeah. It works.
Hey, if you're thinking about converting your vehicle to compressed natural gas, talk to Tom here about all the rebates, tax credits that help you to cover the initial investment. They did change some of that, though, didn't they, Tom?
Well, we had legislation in front of the House. We got it passed. Then we moved it to the Senate, got it passed with a little amendment. And when it got back to the House to reaffirm the amendment, by a couple votes, for some reason, some guys changed their mind, and so they kicked the credit back out. So now we're back to the old credit of 45% on a vehicle, and so that's fine. It's still good. We were trying to get them to update the credits and lean the credits on the vehicles a little bit higher and pull them back off the stations. And then since the state is in this, you know, problem with cash flow, we are paring back the amount of credits the state would give out in a year. But in their wisdom, they didn't see that, and so we'll work on it again next year and explain the position better.
But that's 45%. They give you the money. Is that
well? No, they don't give you the money. If you owe a dollar, they give you a credit for that dollar against your state taxes.
Oh, okay.
So that's a slick deal.
You don't have to write a check to the state then when come tax time.
You bet. You just show your credit and then. You know, you have 5 years to actually use the whole credit.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, but you got a company that's paying taxes like, you know, our shop or Troy's. That's pretty easy to recover that in a year or so.
All right. Check the link to Tulsa Gas Tech on our Wheels page at krmg.com. 7:29, we'll check the latest news from our 24-hour Fox News Center coming up next on News 1023 KRMG. if you have a 409 or any other model for that matter, you need maintenance on that vehicle, and you can get full vehicle care and fleet maintenance from Tulsa Gas Technologies. Just one less worry that you have to deal with and taking care of all the records and what have you. Tulsa Gas Tech guys will do it for you.
You bet. I mean, it's complete service. You can bring it in, and we've even had guys bring them in and just had us clean all the junk out of their truck. And like
really?
They put a new employee in it, bring it by there, clean it out, get it ready for the new guy. I mean, it's amazing what fleet service means, but it's whatever you need done to that truck
and
or vehicle.
One of the things you and Troy offer both is the PC41 Plus headlamp restoration that Lloyd invented, the product that he has out there. Really, it works great on hazy, messed up headlamp lenses that not only keep the light from going out, but this doesn't look cool. So you guys do that as part of the maintenance.
It's part of the deal. If you need it, we just do it on fleet service.
All right. Get more information on our wheels page at KRMG.com for Tulsa Gas Technology. Have a text message at 95920. And by the way, you got a question you want to shoot to us? We can take your text at 95920 and answer them for you here on the air. What is cupping of tires? And how does that happen, Troy?
When we talk about cupping, some people call it scalloping. I've even heard it called chopping. We're talking about literally, if you're looking at the tire, it's like waves worn in the tread design. Depending on how the cupping or scalloping is oriented, gives you a clue to what caused it. I mean, if it's you've got one deep scallop and then they get shallower from there on out, you probably have a tire that's been running out of balance, and as it bounces, it wears in that spot.
Oh.
If it's more evenly distributed about the tire, generally we're looking more at a suspension issue, you know, an alignment issue, a loose part, weak shock or strut. But what you've got is the tire's not rolling straight and true and smoothly, and that gives you that irregular wear. And if it gets bad enough, you'll start hearing it. A lot of people describe it as sounding like a bearing's going out, or if you've run snow tires, you go, my regular tires sound like my snow tires. You get that loud whirring or roaring sound, and it's a way to lose a lot of tire life.
Yeah, I have a question from about noises. How do you determine how quiet a tire is if you're going to buy one?
Generally, the more symmetrical and tightly knit the tread design is going to be a quieter tread design. Strictly speaking, a racing slick should make no noise to speak of, because there's no air pumping in and out of the tread design. There's no tread elements striking the ground and making noise as they hit. The trade-off there is the more tightly knit the tread design, while it's quieter and can wear better depending on the rubber compounds, you also don't get as efficient water dispersal through the tread design, and it can impact your snow traction. So it's a set of trade-offs. Traction increases generally mean noise increases.
Is that why there's so much difference in pavements? You get on one pavement, the tire's real quiet. The next one, it's just loud.
Yeah, I mean, we've all run into that groove pavement that'll make about anything sing, but different tread designs have different noise levels on different pavement types. Again, you know, this is why in terms of our sales presentations, when we're talking with customers, you know, we will always try to encourage you to use the least aggressive tread design that will do the job for you.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people that want to run the knobbies because they look cool, and they do look cool, but they're noisier and they wear faster, and your wet stopping distances are longer and your wet cornering speeds are lower.
Is your mileage lower?
But they look cool.
Yeah.
How do you overcome cool?
Yeah, I mean, it's a steep hill.
That's true.
Well. But, you know, if you do need the extra traction, you know, going with an all-terrain type design that will be tighter knit than a full knobby, but still gives you some off-road performance, is a good compromise. I mean, I run an all-terrain tire because, you know, several weeks out of the year, I'm at least hoping to be out in the deer woods. I don't want to run two sets of tires. You know, I live at the bottom of a hill. If we get some snow in the winter, my all-terrains get me where I need to go. That's the choice I make. I would have a quieter tire and probably a longer-lasting tire if I go with just a plain street tread, but for those times that I need the extra traction, I'd either be stuck or I'd have to have a second set of tires. So, I mean, you make the compromises based on what your general habits are and what your maximum needs are going to be.
And you may need those kind of tires if you're a farmer and you're driving on the pasture.
Oh, yeah. Now, ranch, oil field guys that have to get off in the mud to do their job, they can't, it's muddy today, I can't work. the cow's got to be fed.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, for someone like that, a full knobby or very aggressive all-terrain's a good choice. But again, the trade-off there is with a full knobby, if you're pulling a trailer, they tend to walk around a lot because you have very little tread actually on the ground.
That's true.
So you've got to pick the compromise. Every tire's a compromise, every stinking one of them. It's giving up A to get B. You just pick the compromises that best meet your specific needs.
All right. And if you're going to be pulling a trailer, a horse trailer, or any kind of trailer, do the knobbies give you any better pull or any traction?
Well, I mean, getting you in and out of the mud, if you're pulling that trailer out of a field, sure. But, you know, again, longer stopping distances, less stability because you have less rubber on the road.
Well, great thing is you guys have experts at Cecil & Sons. You can help evaluate everyone's particular situation and find the right tire for them.
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, your truck, your car, your choice. But we will try to give you our best information so you can at least make an informed choice. I'm happy to put big honking knobbies on your truck if you want them, but we're going to have the conversation about wet stopping distance and about noise and about wear so that when you experience those things.
And the ones that stick out beyond the fender, those, besides, I don't even know if those are street legal, really. But
strictly speaking, there are laws on the books. If they extend more than a certain distance beyond the fenders, you can be ticketed. The reality is, I think you'd probably have to tick an officer off pretty badly before he or she are going to write you for that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I remember back cruising the Restless Ribbon, you know, one of the tools they used to kind of shut us down was, and I'm talking about, you know, when we had our cars jacked up in the back end and,
yeah,
you know, N5015s that stuck out, you know, 6-8 inches, you know, they had the tape measure. Oh, you're over the line, boy. Here's your ticket. So, I mean, the rules are on the books if they choose to enforce them. The issue though, of course, is it's hard on your paint. You're throwing stuff up and down your truck and,
once again, your mileage is going to suffer as a result.
Well, when you go with those deep dish wheels that really stick the tires far out, it looks cool. But you're going to be replacing front end parts and bearings and suspension pieces a lot more frequently. I mean, it's like having a short pry bar versus a really long pry bar.
Yeah.
When you stick that tire further and further out from the center line of the vehicle, you're increasing the torque that it can exert on your driveline suspension components.
Yeah, a lot of geometry and suspension.
Boy, there is, I think so. It's 7:43. We're here with Wheels. Had another crash, one of those autonomous vehicles yesterday. This was out in Chandler, Arizona. And I think the reason you're hearing about Phoenix and Chandler, that whole area is kind of a test market, isn't it, Tom?
Yes, it is. And this one, it was a crash. But, you know, people crash vehicles every day. And so the autonomous vehicle was driving, another vehicle swerved in and banged into it pretty hard and crashed it. But that's going to happen too, and you know, obviously everybody's going to blame the autonomous vehicle first. But you know, I think as more and more of these things get in there, there's still people around these vehicles, and they're going to bang into each other.
Yeah, this one, particular one, only made the news because it was autonomous. It was,
you bet.
It was the same kind of a thing that could have happened to anyone. This guy, the Honda, swerved. It went eastbound into westbound lanes. And we're on Chandler Boulevard, if you're familiar with Chandler and the Phoenix area. And they said this van that was autonomous mode, it was in autonomous mode, had an occupant behind the wheel at the time of the crash. They had some minor injuries, but it was not anything that anyone could have avoided. They just swerved over and ran into the car.
So. You bet. If someone's going to plow into you, you can't, sometimes you just can't avoid it no matter how good a driver you are. And, you know, this is one of the things, but it made the news because it's autonomous.
Yeah.
We have a saying, there's people out there who can tear up a steel ball. Some of them drive cars.
No lie.
Oh, man. We are heading into the summer driving season, as Troy mentioned a little bit earlier, and especially vehicles that are 10 years old or more really need to even look closer at precautions against breaking down. And some of the most common causes of car trouble are your batteries, the engine, and the tires. And we've talked a lot about tires and tire damage already, but battery-related issues, including faulty starters and alternators, a battery on the brink of dying really doesn't warn a driver a lot before it just stops. But having a simple battery test can help you, can't it, Lloyd?
It can, but my experience with batteries, I've never had one that warned me but once.
Yeah.
And if you don't heat it, you're going to buy a battery, and you're going to be someplace you don't want to be when it happens. But, yeah, one of the rules we have, we go by the warranties period. If it's a 5-year battery, if you're in the last year or whatever the year is on it, replace it.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb.
It just saves you a lot of grief.
Do you guys check batteries? Do you do that a lot? Talk to Tech?
We have a battery checker that we use to, you know, when we're determining if it's a battery or alternator or whatever. But even then, you know, in the big scheme, batteries are pretty cheap. And so don't let one stick you somewhere. Because what I'm going to charge you to come out and field service your vehicle is a lot more than that battery. And even, you know, like the AAA type programs, when they come out and sell you a battery on the spot, I mean, it's not cheap. And so take good care of your battery.
Yeah, they take advantage of your problem and say, well.
Yeah, I mean, there are battery testers, and we have the Interstate ED18. There are other ones. And, you know, we can run in about 10 minutes. We can run a test that looks at the alternator, the charging, the starter draw, and the estimates the battery condition over a range. But that doesn't mean next week that an internal cell may short out or you may have an issue. So, you know, the wisdom of Lloyd, never let a battery get a second chance to strand you.
Oh, we've had it happen. You go test a battery and you just know inside of you it's not the battery. Stick an alternator on it. And then a week later that vehicle's back and they go, you just stuck an alternator on. It was the alternator that day.
Yeah.
Today it's the battery.
Today it's something else, and it just happened to be.
And a battery can kill a charging system.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
We've had them that come in that the charger would, alternator would not work because the battery had so much resistance. So there's a lot of variables enter into it, and if you get any symptoms at all, don't mess with it.
And when you're replacing a battery, how do you determine cranking power and all of that? I mean, do you, I know you try to match it up with exactly what was in there, but is there any formula? I mean, can you get by maybe with a smaller battery than you would have?
No.
Yeah. I mean, most vehicles have a specific battery size, a group number, group 34, group 24. That refers to the size, the physical dimensions. So you're pretty much locked into the physical dimensions that your car was designed around.
Okay.
That being said, in general terms, more is better. It's really not possible to put too much battery in a car, given that you're constrained by the physical size. And if you've got one that's 550 cranking amps versus one that's 800, if you can afford the 800, buy it. It's probably going to last longer. It's probably going to give you quicker starting in really cold temperatures because it's got more amperage. It's got the ability to put out more juice.
And that's especially true of bigger trucks, eight-cylinder trucks, and bigger vehicles that's going to take more power to pull that bigger, start that bigger engine.
Well, people are putting so much stuff on their cars now that pull a lot of power. And like our trucks have got inverters and stuff like that, so we buy the biggest battery that's in that group that we can get. And usually those higher cold cranking amp batteries are better batteries to start with. They'll have a little bit longer life to them. So I always invest in your battery. It'll save you money in the long run.
749, if you're out cruising, put the top down. It's going to be beautiful today. 83 for the high this afternoon. Sunshine and 53 in Tulsa. You are listening to Wheels on an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. 53 Denver Fox here, back with Wheels on the Saturday morning. And you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of extra weight for a pickup or a trailer to have a weight rating of more than 10,000 pounds, and that means you fall under all those U.S. DOT rules and regulations. And Tom, I once again this week saw Highway Patrol and people pulling over trucks and people with trailers, just checking them, walking around looking, and if it doesn't meet the criteria that is the government has projected on you once again, it could be big fines for you.
You betcha. I just had a text from somebody this week that was in California with some horse trailers, and they were over the 26, and they were taking that. They were impounding the horses, having taken the trailer to the lot.
Really?
The whole deal. I mean, they're, when you're hauling horses for hire, if those are not your horses and you're getting paid to move them, you're a commercial vehicle. And they were taking them in because the operator of the vehicle thought he was going to skate the deal.
Oh.
And, it's just part of it. They are cracking down. So if you're going to be over 26, for sure you need to be all ready to go, all your paperwork. And then if you're 10-1 and you cross state lines, you need to be ready to go too.
And it's not that you have that much weight, it's that you have that capacity rated. You have the potential to carry that weight. You trip the rules.
You bet. And you have to have your tag and all your paperwork has to be lined all the way up.
Well, a lot of people just aren't aware of all of this, I would venture to say. And once again, you've been through it, and you will help people get up to snuff and get up to compliance.
You bet. I've talked to people on the phone, and a lot of times they're a little confused about in-state and out-of-state, and I'll talk them through that. We're not just trying to get your money. I'm not part of that deal. We want to prevent you if you're doing it wrong or not sure. Then we want to work through your problem.
But that you have put together, that's kind of, you know, put the concise things you really need to know without having to wade through 5,000 pages of government documents or anything to get through it. But some of the things you may not know about, your driver's records that you have to keep with you.
Yes.
All the compliance things. And you've got that on your website. People can download it for free.
You betcha. We have a compliance section. We add to it. We pull things away. But it's a good place to start and learn and just get a grasp and understand, you know, before you call me, download that.
All right. And if you want to get more information, and it's part of, I would assume it's part of your fleet maintenance.
It is part of our fleet service. It's why we keep adding to it, because our fleet people, you know, they don't understand as well why they're getting tickets, why they don't, you know, so we talk them through it.
All right. Very good. By the way, we were talking about batteries before the break there, and it was one thing you brought up here during the break that I had never heard of before. The actual cable to a battery, I think of the post getting corroded, and you clean that off and you'll be fine. The cable themselves can be corroded, right, Tom?
You betcha. It's a whole part of a system. So the battery could be a good battery and have a bad cable or a bad connection to the chassis, and you're going to have the same symptoms because it's not making the correct connection. And you'll look at the terminal when it's on the body, and you'll see the body all corroded right there. That's a hot spot where that connection's bad. But the cables, you got to be just aware of your cables as you are the battery.
So eventually you might have to replace cables, and once again, well worth the money so you don't get stranded.
Yeah, if you got a 5-6-year-old vehicle, cables are cheap.
Yeah, do that. Yep. Lloyd Boland, the king of the crankshaft, the transmission whisperer, we'll call him that now. He's the inventor of the PC-41 Plus headlamp restoration
kit. Thank you very much.
That these guys all use. And this is the season when the sun really does the damage to the plastic lens over the headlamps. Yeah. And I see them now. I notice them all the time in the parking lot. And Connie sees them. She'll say, boy, they need to have that cleaned right there.
It's amazing how many's out there. It is just incredible.
It doesn't take long either. I mean, you may have a car that's only 3 or 4 years old, and you've got some damage on there.
And if you clean them up, if you catch them before they get real bad, you'll never have to worry about them. But sometimes you let them go too far. If it goes clear through, you can't fix it.
But you got information about how to use it, where to get it, where to buy it. It's all on the Wheels page at krmg.com. Got links to your Facebook page and to your PC-41 page. And also, if you go to Cecil & Son Discount Tires in Sand Springs or in Sepulpa, you guys will do the process or sell the kit to them.
Absolutely. If you want to tackle it yourself, we've got the consumer kits in stock. And if you don't want to tackle it yourself, we're happy to provide the service as well.
Got some rebates going on right now?
Goodyear's got up to $160 on select set of Goodyear tires. Bridgestone's got up to $100. That's good through Monday. And there are several others. Just hit cecilandsons.com. Click the offers or promotions buttons, and you'll see all of them there.
You're all open till 3 today, right?
7:30 to 5:30 weekdays, 7:30 to 3 on Saturdays.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. The news is next on KRMG. You can drive my car, and maybe I love you.